All right, time for 2A Tuesday, and we have got Dr. John Allott with us this morning, who is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and crimeresearch.org is the website. Dr. Allott, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You sent out a news release on some research you guys had done on armed civilians and the maybe underreported role they play sometimes in stopping crimes and active shooter situations.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, the FBI puts out every year what they call active shooting report, which active shootings are guns that are fired in public, not part of some other type of crime like a robbery or a gang fight over drug turf, anything from one person being shot at and missed all the way up to a mass public shooting. And there really hasn't been any academic research to kind of do a deep dive into who's stopping these attacks disproportionately and how successful they are in stopping them. And so we decided to go and look at this. And I think what it shows overall is what an incredibly difficult job uniformed police officers have. If you have somebody in uniform, and I don't think people appreciate the difficulties that they face, and somebody is going to do, an active shooting attack, they can either wait for the officer to leave the area or they can move on to another target themselves. Or if they're going to insist on attacking in that place, who do you think they're going to take out first? The one person that they know for sure has a gun, and that is the police officer who's in uniform there. And civilians who have concealed carry permits, it's much more difficult for these attackers to identify who they are before they start their attack. And so what we find is that when you have civilians stopping these attacks at a higher rate than you have police officers, and they're more successful in the sense that police officers who are involved in stopping these attacks are seven times more likely to be killed than the civilians are.
Wow.
They're more likely to be wounded. It's kind of like, one way of thinking about this is we have air marshals on planes. Would anybody want an air marshal to be in uniform?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Because if you happen to have a terrorist on the plane, who would they go and take out first? Because then they know they'd have free rein there to go after other people on the plane, or at least freer rein.
Yeah.
And so... go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we talk all the time about concealed carry and constitutional carry and having the importance of having a good guy with a gun somewhere near you. And I love the fact that this research just backs that up. We just had a debate in the legislature here in Missouri because we've got this insane rule that you can have a concealed carry license, but you can't conceal carry on the local metro trains when you're riding on the train,
right,
where they've had a crime problem because the criminals know it's a no gun zone. So they go on and they commit criminal acts against people, but you have no ability to protect yourself.
I mean, if you look at something like mass public shootings, where these murderers have diaries or manifestos that they've left behind, it's amazing, but time after time they explicitly explain why they picked the targets that they did, and these mass murderers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. Their goal is to get media coverage, and they know if they go to a place where their victims aren't able to go and defend themselves, they're going to be more successful in killing more people. And so whether it's the Nashville school shooter or the Buffalo grocery store shooter or others, I mean, there's literally dozens of these cases. And the thing I have to say, one of my biggest pet peeves, and it just drives me completely nuts, is the media's refusal to go and cover that portion of their diaries or manifestos. You would think it would be newsworthy.
Yes.
Do you think why these individuals pick the targets that they do would be something that people want to know about? And you would think the media would cover it, but yet the media refuses. You know, even like the Nashville school shooter, even though the day of the attack, the police chief had looked through her diary and seen that she had considered going after the Greenfield Mall that was there, but the Greenfield Mall in Nashville had allowed people to carry permitted concealed handguns. So she decided not to go and attack that venue. She had picked the school precisely because she didn't think anybody would be there in order to stop her from doing the attack. And so, and as I say, you just see this time after time, but you look in vain. Like, even though the police chief mentioned that in his remarks, there's like no, absolutely no media coverage on his statement with regard to that.
And it took him years to release it. We're talking to Dr. John Lott, Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center.
What's so odd to me, and you think about it in context of schools, where a lot of these venues, schools, might pay a lot of money to have security guards there, but then they're not allowed to even actually carry a gun.
Yeah.
They have what, pepper spray at the very most?
Right.
You're bringing a knife to a gun. You can't match a shoot. If a person comes in armed with a gun, you can't match them.
Right. Well, one of the disagreements I have with some conservatives is that they want to put an armed uniform police officer in the schools. And, you know, my advice is if you're not going to let the teachers or staff carry and you're going to have a police officer there, please don't put the officer in uniform.
Wow.
Have them blend in, make them the PE coach or make them a staff person there so that the attackers there can't identify who it is that they have to worry about who might be able to go and stop them.
Well, it's a point I really hadn't considered. Dr. Lott, crimeresearch.org is the website. We appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Dr. John Lott there. That's an interesting take on it. I am in support of more armed officers in schools, whether they're in uniform or not. Some good guy with a gun, which would have prevented the shooting at the Gateway Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
The guy ran to the window, saw the guy with the gun. He was unarmed. He had to go the other way, tried to alert people, but imagine if he could have engaged that idiot at the door.
I get his point, and he does make an interesting point where if you see the officer, you're going to try to go after that person to knock him out, so then you kind of can just do whatever you want to do versus not knowing who's armed. But I guess I think about, okay, well, if you're arming the teachers, you could, as a potential shooter, you could think, well, 10 people might be armed in that building, and I don't know where they are. But if they're in the classroom, what good are they going to do if their main responsibility is... I'm not saying don't arm the teachers. I'm just saying if they're the only ones who are armed and you're not allowing the officer to have a gun, then the teacher's first priority is to protect the students they're in charge of. So they're going to, during a lockdown, lock the kids in the classroom and hide. They're not going to be the ones likely running out there trying to get this person taken out.
Yeah, it's a good debate to have in these school districts for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What are we talking about?
Been 5 years now, just over 5 years since George Floyd's death. And wow, people have a lot of feelings about it. What have we learned from this? Where are we now as a country? And I have to play a clip from you, something the WNBA did to, let's just say, honor the anniversary.
We're back right after this.